Hi, this is the Taylor and Francis and VTI podcast on developing your research career. I'm Claire Dauphinies from Taylor and Francis.
And I'm Marie Twy from VTI.
And in this episode, Marie and I are going to be exploring the many and varied career paths that are open to researchers.
What options are available to you?
We found people who went into research outside academia, but they're also going into research policy, they're going into science communication, lawyers as in patents. They're working as professionals inside higher education.
Does it always have to be academia?
I think there's so many career options for PhD students. I think that the skills that you acquire are some of the most transferable skills that exist.
What happens if you'd like to go elsewhere?
I'd encourage researchers to just be brave. They have so much experience and so much to offer.
And if so, where might that elsewhere be? We're here in London and we've got our bus passes at the ready, first stop Euston, and are going to be discussing researchers' career options with a number of people, including a specialist careers consultant and the head of VTI. We'll be exploring what opportunities are out there for researchers, including alternatives to academia, giving you some ideas and tips if you're considering stepping up and moving on. So settle in for the next 15 minutes as we explore alternative career paths for researchers.
I'm here today with Janet Metcalf from VTI.
So I head VTI, and VTI is an organisation that supports the professional development of researchers. And clearly, careers of researchers is a very important part of that, both understanding what types of careers researchers can have, but also giving them some, you know, help and advice in terms of how to find the best career for them. So VTI has recently done a project called What Do Research Staff Do Next? And that's looking at where do postdoctoral researchers go if they don't get academic positions. And it's a fantastic array of occupations that came out of. I mean, we looked at people, well, we found people who went into clearly into research outside academia, but they're also going into policy, research policy. They're going into science communication, lawyers as in patents. They're working as professionals inside higher education. That's now emerging as quite a big career opportunity. You know, for example, working in research offices or in public engagement inside universities, or even helping researchers themselves, so as researcher developers or careers advisors. And one of the interesting things to come out of this project is that of the people who responded to this survey, which was across Europe, 80% of them wanted to be academics while they were still in academia as a researcher, but only 15% would go back. So their job satisfaction is very high.
That's a very striking statistic. What do you think are the transferable skills that researchers have, and how valued do you think they are outside of academia?
Well, that's one of the questions we asked the people who responded to this project, about which competencies are they using most in their current employment. And the one that came top in every single employment sector was around communication skills, which is clearly something you develop while you're being a researcher. About half were highlighting their critical thinking, the importance of teamwork and collaboration, and independent working, which every researcher knows is something that they get very used to. And when we talk to employers, one of the things that comes out really strongly is agility. You know, the ability to react quickly to changing circumstances. And I think that's something that researchers do have, in that their research projects are always changing circumstances, but they may not realize that they can apply that.
How mobile is the job market for researchers? Do you think there's geographic limitations for PhDs emerging in the market?
Oh, I think one of the challenges for researchers is trying not to be mobile. So many of them are chasing opportunities and moving all over the world in order to, you know, to find that postdoctoral position or to find a permanent academic position. And I think that's one of the challenges for the role, you know, but how much are you prepared to sacrifice in terms of your personal circumstances in order to get that treasured academic position?
So we've talked about the value of researchers maybe going from an academic job into a non-academic job, but I wonder about the opposite. If a researcher goes into a non-academic job and comes back into academia, does that work? Is that valued? Is there a benefit to this?
the intersectional mobility of researchers is still very much out of academia and into other sectors. It's increasing, but there's still much less movement in the other direction. That can be quite challenging. I mean, certainly we found examples of it in the people who responded in our project. But I think academia has still got some way to go before they recognize the value of that external experience.
So Janet, that's been really, really fascinating to speak to you about this. And I was wondering if you could tell us what your top tip is for researchers as they think about their careers.
I'd encourage researchers to just be brave. You know, they have so much experience and so much to offer to any employer. You know, they should be positive. They should look at the opportunities that are outside and inside academia and just realize they have so much to offer and make a really positive decision in terms of careers.
Janet's given us a great introduction, but what does this mean in reality? Who can you turn to for advice if you're considering a route out of academia, but still want to use all those valuable skills you developed as a researcher? Next, we're going to talk to Kate Murray, who's careers consultant at King's College London, to hear about the questions researchers ask her the most and the advice that she gives.
My name's Kate Murray. I'm the careers consultant specifically for research staff here at King's. So I work jointly with my colleague who works with PhDs. We work across the whole gamut of people at King's, everything from ancient politics research to zebrafish. So it could be anything. And the kind of stages that they're at, I would say mostly people are talking to me within about a year of thinking about leaving. So within a year of their contract coming up, some people come and talk to me just as their contract's finishing, which is always slightly alarming. And there are some very organised people that come and talk to me right at the beginning, but typically it's within 6 months, a year before the end of their contract.
I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the guidance that King's currently offers.
We spend up to an hour at a time with people, and people can come as often as they like to talk to us. And we talk through that whole career decision making piece, if you like. So everything from, I don't know whether I want to stay here, what are my options? And then into the more practical stuff, the CVs, applications, interviews, helping people with assessment centres. And also we work through researcher societies. So in faculties, we will be approached to come and help as part of their careers events that they organise as well. We also have online resources. So today, for example, I'm going to be recording a webinar or delivering a webinar about interviews. So there's people don't have to come in. They can do it sitting at their desk as well.
Do you think part of the issue is that a lot of researchers feel like maybe it's a distraction to be focusing on your career rather than the work that you're doing now?
I think that's probably true. I think that people do see it as a distraction, and sometimes obviously people are not encouraged to spend that time thinking about themselves. But if being satisfied in what you do makes you a happier worker, I feel that spending a bit more time thinking about yourself and how you approach work and what you want to get out of it should be to the benefit of the whole organisation.
I was just wondering if you could give us one tip that you'd give someone who's just completed their PhD and isn't sure where to go next or what to do next.
The conversation that I often have with people is trying to help them decide what change they want to see in the world. What is the thing that they are most bothered about, that they want to see a difference? And once you have some idea of what that is, the thing that concerns you in the world, then from there other decisions come, the kind of sector that you want to work in. So once you've got a sense of what that change is and for whom you want to make a difference or to whom you want to make a difference, then it makes the rest of the decision making a little bit easier.
Now we're going to move on to talk to a couple of people who've actually chosen to pursue alternative careers to academia themselves. Why and how did they decide to make that leap? And what advice would they give to someone thinking of doing the same?
I'm David Smith, and I'm a product analyst on the digital products team at Taylor & Francis. My job is mostly looking at information about new products or existing products and how we can improve those using better information about our customers.
Can you tell us a bit about how you came into your current role and how you think your PhD helped you with that?
I was more interested in having a career in technology, and so I joined the graduate scheme at Informa and joined Taylor & Francis in their technology team. Definitely my background in academia has helped me with that. I think it was easier for me to get a technology job here than it would have been to get a technology job at Amazon or whatever, because I have a good knowledge of the field that team works in.
And were there any particular challenges during your transition from research to your new career?
One of the things I miss definitely is having time just to talk to people about sort of things that might seem irrelevant, and out of those conversations usually you end up finding something actually that's really relevant, and that happens a lot less in a business context because there's a lot of goals and targets and aims and people are very focused on those goals. Actually, many of the skills, particularly from PhD research, are just so transferable because the ability to look at things critically, to pull things apart, work out what's not working, to analyse information, to absorb huge amounts of information and then synthesise that into something smaller, all essential to a PhD and extremely valuable in a business context as well. I think there's so many career options for PhD students. I think that the skills that you acquire through advanced study and research are some of the most transferable skills that exist. You would struggle to find a successful company that doesn't want to employ people who have that kind of critical eye and that ability to analyse. If you can sell yourself on that basis, I think there will be endless possibilities.
Is there one skill that you use on a daily basis that you honed in from your PhD?
Yeah, I think it's just the ability to look at something critically, not to make lazy assumptions, not to take for granted what you've been told. Essentially, that comprises my entire job on a day-to-day basis.
Hi, my name's Emma Kennedy. I'm an education advisor in academic practice at Queen Mary University of London. My job involves mostly staff training around teaching and learning. So we run a postgraduate certificate in teaching and learning that a lot of the staff do, but also one-off workshops that they do as part of their professional development.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you made the transition from PhD research into your current role?
Sure. So my PhD was in English literature, and that's mainly my background until I came into this role. When I was a PhD student, I did quite a lot of teaching. I really enjoyed it. After I finished my PhD, I was looking for just to kind of jobs that were not necessarily traditional academic jobs, but that still involved teaching in higher education. And that's when I came upon this job, and I was lucky enough to get it because I have experience in teaching.
Did you face any particular challenges during your transition from PhD to working?
Yeah, one of the main challenges I faced was in terms of confidence. Imposter syndrome is a really big thing for PhD students, and it's not something you leave behind when you finish your PhD. So transitioning into a new role meant that I just kind of felt all over again, that feeling of, am I trained for this? Do I have enough experience to be able to do this? Am I just an eternal student? So that was a big thing, kind of realizing that I can actually be a professional and not feeling like just quote unquote a student.
Do you think that some of it is about the kind of professional identity that you develop as a researcher, thinking you're a PhD student and now suddenly you have to develop a whole new professional identity?
For sure, I think that's really important. I think a lot of PhD students really do themselves down by thinking, well, I'm just studying, but actually you're not a student, you do have a professional identity, but it can be quite hard to accept that you have the skills necessary to be a professional.
Thinking about your own background and now your current work, do you think, are you able to apply your research background to your current role? And if so, how do you do it?
Absolutely. I don't apply very much in terms of the content of my research. My research was on 17th century literature, which is not that relevant to what most people are doing. But in terms of gathering together lots of information, passing information, things like marketing and kind of project management, even though we don't necessarily think of what we do in those terms all the time as a PhD student, you're managing a project, you're marketing yourself, you're kind of communicating with lots of different parts of the university and often other agencies as well, and quite often the public. So yeah, I think I learned a lot from managing that PhD project.
What's your biggest takeaway from today, Marie?
I think one of the themes that came up a lot today was actually taking control of your career and not leaving it to the last minute, and actually drawing on all the resources that are available and all the support that is available within institutions. Either if you're a PhD student or an early career researcher, there's a wealth of resources out there which need to be taken advantage of. And I also really enjoyed Janet's point about being brave. I think that's a fantastic piece of advice that I would love for everybody to take on board.
I think what I've taken away from today is how many different career paths there are out there for researchers. So there's not a one size fits all
everyone goes into different things, and there's so many skills that you gain as a researcher that can be useful later on in your life. So thanks to Marie and everyone who's contributed today. Hope you've enjoyed listening. Look out for our next podcast, which will focus on academic mentoring. It'll be coming soon.